From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
Our text for this morning is found in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The two most important things in our holy religion are the life of faith and the walk of faith. He who shall rightly understand these is not far from being a master in experimental theology, for they are vital points to a Christian. You will never find true faith unattended by true godliness. On the other hand, you will never discover a truly holy life which has not for its root a living faith upon the righteousness of Christ. Woe unto those who seek after the one without the other. There are some who cultivate faith and forget holiness. These may be very high in orthodoxy, but they shall be very deep in condemnation, for they hold the truth in unrighteousness. And there are others who have strained after holiness of life, but have denied the faith, like the Pharisees of old, of whom the Master said they were whitewashed sepulchres. We must have faith, for this is the foundation. We must have holiness of life, for this is the superstructure. Of what service is the mere foundation of a building to a man in a day of tempest? Can he hide himself therein? He wants a house to cover him, as well as a foundation for that house. Even so, we need the superstructure of spiritual life if we would have comfort in the day of doubt. But seek not a holy life without faith, for that would be to erect a house which can afford no permanent shelter, because it has no foundation on a rock. Let faith and life be put together, and like the two abutments of an arch, they will make our piety enduring. Like light and heat streaming from the same sun, they are alike full of blessing. Like the two pillars of the temple, they are for glory and for beauty. They are two streams from the fountain of grace, two lamps lit with holy fire, two olive trees watered by heavenly care. O Lord, give us this day life within, and it will reveal itself without to Thy glory.
I shall never hunger, oh my
desire to study the Bible, but not really sure how to go about it, several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Again, that's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As he proceeds with his study in the law of God, Dr. Alan Cairns is preaching a message entitled, Loving Ourselves. There is a proper sense of self-esteem that results from a true view of the love of God for sinners. As the believer understands the implications of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, he will see that proper care for and attitude toward his body and mind form part of his response to God's love. One who rejects God becomes his own worst enemy. Christians who fail to stay close to God fall into hopelessness. Dr. Cairns provides a scriptural answer to this problem by encouraging God's people to focus upon Christ rather than upon their circumstances or their failures. Now to continue this message, Loving Ourselves, here is Dr. Cairns.
If some great Caesar uprooted you from home, scattered you where you didn't know anybody, where you had no roots and you had no opportunities, you were the offscouring of all flesh, and then he began to pour persecution upon persecution upon you, would you be in heaviness? If you'd lost a father or a mother or a son or a daughter, and you'd no hope of ever finding them again, would you be in heaviness? Sure you would. And they were. They were just ordinary people. But yet, they didn't need a psychologist. And they didn't need a therapist. And they didn't need some self-esteem conference. They were rejoicing. Now, that's a contradiction in terms, as far as the world's concerned. How do you rejoice when you're in that situation? How do you rejoice? Notice the first word of verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. What was it that they rejoiced in? What was it that brought joy to their hearts? Not their circumstances. They were as extreme as could be. But it was the gospel. Wherein refers to that salvation described from verse 2 to verse 5. Here's why they were rejoicing. We're strangers scattered abroad. The Romans hate us, but we are elect of God. We're elect of God. You know, that's why I can never understand these Christians. And especially these preachers. God forgive them for their almost blasphemous ignorance. Who will not allow God to be sovereign to elect his people. I can't understand that little mindset that flies in the face of Scripture. And I'll tell you why. Not just because the Bible teaches it, but because when your back is against the wall, and when all the props are kicked away, it is a joy to know God chose me in Christ before the beginning of time. He predestinated me. I'm not an afterthought with God. I'm not a blip or an accident on the screen of the world's affairs. I am the object of God's eternal love in which He chose me. He predestinated me. He set about me the horizons of His eternal purpose. There's not a demon in hell can change it. What a joy that is. They rejoiced in that. They rejoiced that God the Holy Spirit had regenerated them. They rejoiced that Christ has shed His precious blood for them and that it had been applied to their heart. They rejoiced that God had grace for them and peace even in the midst of such circumstances. I've talked to you tonight already about some circumstances can break your heart. Some of you know what I'm talking about, and maybe tonight you're walking a deep valley. I want to tell you, get your eyes beyond the circumstances and see what God says about you in the gospel and rejoice in that. Not only so, but we have a living hope. Notice the word again. We have a living hope. Christ is risen from the dead. And in our risen Christ, verse 3, we have been begotten again to a living hope. We have an incorruptible inheritance. We have something to look forward to. Heaven is reserved for us, verse 4, and we are reserved for heaven, verse 5. Put it all together, and what have you got? You have a salvation that gives you a description of what you are and what you have in Christ. Though the earthly circumstances are bleak, rejoice in the Lord. See what the gospel says about you. Understand this, because listen, a thorough grasp of what God says about us in the Christ is the key to a happy and proper regard for ourselves. Time does not permit me to follow this through the scriptures. I've now actually got to something I like preaching, and I've got to something I could preach on till midnight. And with the slightest encouragement, I would do it. I think of Ephesians 1. Go right down. I've done this many a time. Many a time when circumstances have been bleak, when I've had to question myself in the loneliness before God, many and many a time when depression would sweep over my soul and my whole life and ministry would be called and questioned, I would go down that chapter and I would thank God for every precious thing that God says about me in Christ, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, predestinated in God's love in Christ, adopted in Christ, redeemed in Christ by His precious blood, having the Holy Spirit as the guarantee of coming glory. My, these are things that never change. How often I have directed your attention to the central doctrine of the New Testament gospel, which is the doctrine of justification. God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us who knew no righteousness, in order that we should be made the righteousness of God in Him. I love that statement. I love that text in 2 Corinthians 5:21. God says, I have made you, I have constituted you the very righteousness of God in Christ. The world may curse and condemn, Satan may tempt and taunt, but understand what I say about you and rejoice in it. Let me sum it up in the words of John the Apostle in chapter 3 of his first epistle. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. That's the present dignity of God's people. Now are we the sons of God. Here's our future destiny. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Bless God. This is what God says about us. Can we despise one who is so dear to the Lord? Can we despise one who cost the Lord Jesus his own precious blood? Understand this. When you grasp what God says about you in the gospel, then, my friend, you have the key in your hand to having a happy, proper regard for yourself. But we have to admit, there are situations that seem to go from bad to worse. And under the strain of these situations, many people are tempted to lose sight and at least the joy of their standing in Christ. And so, the third great truth I would set before you tonight is this. Love for God will enable us to maintain a proper regard for ourselves and not despair, even when our circumstances continue to grow ever bleaker. We have to recognize a problem that many people face. How do you maintain a proper regard for yourself when your health is continually deteriorating, or when your pain is intractable, or when persecution is persistent, or when your problems multiply and there's no way out of them apparent to you in this world? It's a big problem. We have to face the fact that oftentimes it's not God's will to heal the body. Oftentimes it's not God's will to remove the pain. Oftentimes it's not God's will to lift us out of our problems. That's very difficult for any of us to accept. And as our brother Graham indicated this morning, Satan without mercy will hit you when you're weakest. He'll put in his own pernicious lies. He'll tempt you to imagine that God is against you. And he'll cause you to despair and to regard yourself in a light very different from the gospel's description of you. So how do we as Christians maintain a proper regard for ourselves in such situations? Listen to the answer of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. If I could retranslate those final words, lest ye become weary, being enfeebled in your soul. Do we not know something about that? Some of you live with chronic pain. Some of you don't know what it is to have a day free from agony. You see other people do things, go places, undertake projects that would fill your heart. But for you it's forbidden territory. There's many and many a time in the bleakness of a deteriorating situation threatens to unbalance your thinking completely, what do you do? Consider Christ. Consider Christ. And as you consider Christ, who endured so much, understand that sometimes it is our sufferings that glorify God and not their removal. Paul could make this statement and give this command in Hebrews 12 because of what he had just said at the end of Hebrews 11. He makes it plain from verse 33 to 38. Notice verse 33 through 35. He says, some saints, through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, and women received their dead raised to life again. What a chronicle. And that's the crowd I want to be among. Am I right? That's the crowd you want to be among. When we're in trouble, we pray and we get deliverance. When we're in pain, we pray and the pain is gone. When somebody dies in the family, we pray and God raises them to life. Happen to these people. We all want to be with them. The enemy comes against us, we go out in the name of the Lord and we just put them to flight. Doesn't always happen that way. Read on verse 35 to 38. Others were tortured. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned and sawn asunder. By the way, that's a very literal description of what happened to them. Sawn asunder, tempted, slain with the sword. They wandered in sheepskins and goatskins. They were destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Some had these miraculous answers to prayer. Others, it appeared, God didn't hear them. They suffered. Two very, very different results. And yet the thing is this, both companies acted by such great faith that God celebrates their faith in Hebrews 11. You would think to hear some preachers today that the second group were in defeat, but they weren't. Both of these peoples loved the Lord. Both were equally good, and both were equally triumphant. Some were triumphant in their deliverance, others were triumphant in their suffering.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.